What's poppin', everybody? Welcome back into the Expired Popcorn Podcast, where we talk about the fresh and the forgotten in film and TV. My name is Stone, as always.
I'm Zach.
And today we are talking about Invincible, Season 2, which just finally wrapped up, what, last week?
Last Friday.
As you know, I binged it for our podcast. How was the wait for you? Mentally, were you able to be okay with waiting how many months, 3 or 4 months in between both parts?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people were upset, and a lot of people on Twitter specifically were like, the wait between part one and two for season two killed the hype and everything. And honestly, I don't think it killed the hype. I was pretty excited, but I don't think that they like left us on like such a major cliffhanger that it was like unbearable to have to wait like 3 or 4 months.
No, but it also seems like they didn't, because they didn't leave it on a cliffhanger, they also seems like they didn't plan for it to be splitting off in two parts. You know what I'm saying? When if there's a part one and part two, you expect to have some sort of cliffhanger.
Yeah, it felt like it ended on a normal episode cliffhanger, because Invincible always ends on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, and then I guess episode four was pretty extreme, which was a good one. Good one to leave off on. But binged it in 2 days. I'm pretty addicted to it, not gonna lie.
It's not a hard watch.
It's a pretty good show.
Yeah, like it's quite enjoyable.
I think that just from my perspective, I think the season one is basically perfect, honestly.
Yeah.
Season two, we'll get into it. By the way, we're gonna do full spoilers for season two.
Yeah, full spoilers, so better have watched it.
Yeah, basically just break down every character and what they did during the season, I think is the best way to go. But yeah, season two only has, in my opinion, one flaw. But then I talked about it on social media, and I was my opinion was changed, or my gripe was valid, but also they said just wait kind of thing, because my issue was going to be solved in season three.
Yeah, I saw your video, and I was like, you know, I kind of feel the same way, like... I'm just going to talk about it. The point you made was that Angstrom Levi should have been a bigger villain in season two. And like I have never read the comics or anything. So like I shared your same opinion. I was like, oh yeah, like he really should have, like, it felt like kind of such a waste because of what happens at the end of the season. And like, he only shows up in like the first episode and the last episode of season two.
Basically, he has little hints here and there, like season three. There's probably like 2 or 3 episodes where he's not in it at all.
He's like the major villain that's not really there ever. And then he gets into a giant.
Supposedly, he's in season three, or he's a huge part of the comics, and he's not dead at the end of the season, even though I clearly thought he was, and it appeared that he is, but I guess he's
In my love of spoilers, I then had to go do research on, like, what the actual fuck, like, how did this man not die? So I now know everything about the comics.
Oh, I don't know why you do that.
I just have to know, because I need to know what to expect. I need to have expectations set. And I do my best to not ruin stuff for other people. Like, I'm not telling you anything about what happens.
Yeah, people did. And honestly, it felt good, though, because people are like, oh, yeah, I totally get your gripe, but it'll make sense.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that Invincible does really well, is somehow they have, like, this giant cast of characters, and a lot of times they don't get utilized in every single episode other than Mark. Nobody is utilized in every episode. But then they have these like major story arcs where they're like uber important. Even like the most minor characters, like in season one, William, you're just like, oh, it's just the best friend. And then he's this like major arc with his boyfriend in college getting turned into a reanimate man.
Yeah, I would say that was my favorite part. Maybe my favorite moment of season two, which is wild to think about, was Cecil's like butt Ed. What was his
Donald?
His right hand man, Donald. Yeah, Donald, and then William's boyfriend. Yeah. That little moment that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Not expecting that. Finishing season one, I would never have expected Donald to be a huge part of season two, because he wasn't a big part of season one at all.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot. One thing I did miss, I'll say, is I really liked the interesting storyline that, I mean, I didn't know anything going in, unlike you with
Lost. I didn't know anything going into watching seasons one and two.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I was really fascinated by the storyline between Robot and Monster Girl. I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And the Mahler twins involved with it was very interesting. And then we got to season two, and it's kind of like they just go on a couple dates, and nothing really surprised me. They didn't have that much of a focus as in Amber and Mark, or as in Mark's mother, or even, I feel like Rexplode even had more of like a sort of a character arc in this season than those two. But we'll see. It's kind of such a weird situation. Well, she is 24 and he is 30. They both look like children.
And she is in a 9-year-old's body and he is in like a 11-year-old's body.
Yeah, something like that, which is a younger version of Rexplode, which is just crazy. That's a very fun storyline and creative decisions that they've done. I'm assuming that's according to the comics. Yeah, but do you know who, I wonder if you know this, which you probably do. Do you know who the voice of Monster Girl is?
Oh,
you don't have to name her name, but she voices another very big character that we've talked about before on the podcast.
Yes, I know who she is. I literally can't picture her and I can't remember. Like, I know she's important. Like, I know she's like kind of a big person.
I would say the one thing that came to mind, I'm almost 105% sure that she's Azula. She has the exact, her name is Gray Griffin. Hold on.
Yes, it is. She used to be Gray Delisle. Yes, that's her. That's Azula.
What did you say? She used to be what?
Gray Delisle or something like that.
Like her name used to be that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah, I'm just checking. Oh,
she
my goodness. I don't
voices. You can't this look one. At her IMDb because it.
Oh my gosh.
It's too big. Like, it's too extensive. She's like literally one of the biggest names in voice acting. Like, every single animated series you could ever think of, she voices somebody in it. I'm pretty sure she's in Adventure Time. She's in Teen Titans. I'm sure she voices somebody in, Family Guy or something. Like, literally every single animated TV series you could ever name, she's probably in. That's how big she is.
I would love to do some research on her. That's really fascinating. But I'm almost positive that she voices Azula. So that was, like, a...
Yeah.
That was a fun little tidbit, but what did you think about season two overall? Did anything stand out to you?
I had two gripes. One that was resolved because I was like, I read the comments on your video and then went and also did some research about Angstrom Levi. But my other gripe was like how tired the storyline between Mark and Amber was. Like, going into episode four and like the way it ends, it feels like their whole like will they won't they, like how do we have a relationship when you're a superhero thing was resolved. And even like into episode five, it feels like it was resolved, and then you get to like midway through episode five going into six and seven and they are still hashing out like how do we be in a relationship together when you're a superhero and I'm just a normie, and like it's totally valid, but I just felt like the storyline kept repeating, and then the way it ends, like, I mean, I also, if I was Amber, I would have broken up with Mark too after having my neck almost snapped in half by a Viltrumite. But that just felt like a kind of a cop out finally, because there were so many other times where her life was also in danger, or like Mark's life was in danger, that they should have just broken up if that was the issue.
I low-key like it. I low-key think it kind of makes it more realistic, as in it sucks, but you know, we'll get through it. I know you're superheroes, do it. And then okay, they've had that discussion, but then stuff continues to happen and they're like, I don't know if I can actually do this. And that was the first time that her life was actually put in jeopardy. And I think that's very important, because obviously Mark's life's put in jeopardy a lot, but that doesn't matter, because you know, he's invincible and he'll be fine. But especially when not only is it her life put in jeopardy, but it's someone that Mark loves like that put in jeopardy. I feel like that's where they're like, okay, we can't do this as much as we want to do it.
Yeah.
And then they have a little, which I like it. I like that they carried out, like, for two seasons, the whole storyline between Amber and Mark, I think, has been really good. There is, I saw someone comment on this, but in season one, when she finds out that he's invincible and she says, I've known it all along. Right before that, when the robot is like the cyborg thing, William's boyfriend is terrorizing, she sees Invincible fly off, and she's like, who was that? And then all of a sudden, Mark comes back. But then right after that, she says, no, I knew that was you the whole time, even though she says, who was that, as he's falling off. Yeah, that was very funny.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was, like, a good, almost, like, hyper-realistic thing to do. Because, like, it's like, you have, like, your intuition, but you're like, there's just no way. Like, it wouldn't make any sense, but, like, you, like, have your inklings about things like that when somebody's keeping a secret and then they tell you the secret. And you're like, well, I had a feeling all along. That's, like, such, like, a real feeling to portray in a cartoon, which is nice.
Yeah, what did you think about Omni-Man's interesting storyline?
I don't love redemption arcs for villains. Like...
Well, the thing is,
he's not really a villain.
I mean, I would agree, but even in season one, he did horrible things, right? Obviously, he was the big bad villain, but then he wasn't at the end per se. He did everything except the one thing that would solidify him as a villain forever.
Yeah.
And then you knew there was some ounce of good in him. And then you have this storyline in season two, which I couldn't have predicted at all.
I mean, yeah, I didn't see this. I didn't know where I had... Again, I knew nothing going into seasons one and two. Between season one and two, I didn't read anything about Invincible either. And I still don't know where Nolan's story is supposed to go. But my assumption is he's going to sacrifice himself at some point to save Mark. Like, that's kind of obvious.
It seems like he's like building an army.
Yeah, he's
strategically having more kids that are not full Viltrumite.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere on like Reddit or something, that like somebody was like posting a theory that he's impregnating people all across the universe to have an army of half Viltrumite children. But I don't know, like, I guess he is already 400 or 500 years old.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be really rough on Debbie, too. Like, she's trying to get over, and
she already had to adopt his purple insect child.
Yeah, they have, like, 150 of them out there. I think that would really push her over the edge.
I think so, too. And also, I don't know that, like, I don't even know that, like, having one a year for your 100 or for your 500 years is enough to take on the Viltrumites.
Yeah, I don't know. The Viltrumites are so interesting. And then everything with... Alan, the alien, was...
I love super... Alan so much.
I wish he was in the show more.
Me too.
He was only in there for about a good 2 to 3 episodes, I would say.
Yeah, I'm expecting he's going to be in there a lot more in season 3. That's someone else that I don't know anything about. I just know, like, the only things that I know are where the very ending and what happens to Mark, mostly. But
where,
like,
do we leave Mark out? Where do we leave Mark off at? Okay, I guess he killed Engstrom Levy, and then he was struggling a bit, but then is he done struggling? Like, he's gotten okay with the fact that he did that?
No, not really.
He's just trying to mentally deal with it.
Yeah, like, at the end of this season, he's still reeling, and so I'm guessing that's going to be, like, the big plot point in season 3, and maybe... I'm assuming he's going to get into another big fight with somebody, probably a Viltrumite. I wonder if Anissa's going to come back or something. And he's going to, like, have to go berserk on her. And then, like,
I wonder how much hesitate. Amber is going to be in the show now that they're not together.
I don't know. I feel like she was, like, such a big character to have built up to then just, like, toss to the side and not use anymore, so...
But how do you... I mean, it makes sense that William's not really that big, but it makes sense that William is still somewhat in the show because, you know, he's the best friend. But now, if, you know, Adam, Eve, and Mark are going to possibly be something, how do you still keep Amber around? Also, one thing, just thinking off at the top of my head, that I was kind of disappointed by, because I thought it was an interesting storyline, was the... I'm trying to say street-level crime lord rock guy that was in season one. The rock
guy?
Basically,
oh, the one that Adam Eve is, Mark, like, fighting?
Him. No, I don't think so. Mark,
oh, I'm thinking of the laser guy. Never mind.
You're good. Mark helped him, right? He had the mafia-type boss who was a robot who kind of had, like, auto-tune when he spoke.
I like, and vaguely remember
he basically manipulated Mark. Yeah. He said, Mark, I need your help. And Mark almost died, and everyone almost died trying to defeat this robot mafia guy. And afterwards, you find out that the rock, that's the only thing I can think of. He was a black guy, but then he could, like, form rock on his body. And he actually became the new crime lord of the street level stuff that's going on. So I thought he was going to be in season two somewhat, but he wasn't in season two at all. I think the very, very end they teased him, but he wasn't in the season at all. Speaking of which, the Mahler twins. Very disappointed that they weren't in the show more.
Are they dead? I don't remember. Like, they're not dead. They're not dead, right? But one of them's still alive.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't think there's two of them now. I think
there's just the one because he
automatically knew which clump was.
Yeah, because fucked up face.
Yeah, and so that was pretty funny. I really like them. Like I said, they're maybe under Alan and Omni-Man, they're like my favorite characters because whatever they do is just really interesting to me.
They're always doing something.
And the show opened with them too.
Yeah. I think that they have a really nice running gag that I wonder how they're going to like continue it because now like they know who the original is.
Yeah. I think it was kind of cool how they elevated people who you didn't think were going to be a big deal in the season, like the Lizard Gang.
Yeah, the Lizard League and even like Duplicate and stuff.
What's that one guy's name who Duplicate and him got together?
Immortal.
That was very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily love that they kept Immortal alive.
I mean, it makes sense. He's the Immortal. Like,
he is immortal, yeah.
You can't really kill him.
Yeah, that was a storyline that I wasn't expecting. But the whole thing with the Lizard Gang, like, wiping them all out, and then in the end, none of them died. Because I was watching that. I think I was watching that with my wife, and I was shocked because nobody dies. All of a sudden, I thought all three of them were going to die, but then all three of them still live.
Yeah, when Duplicate died, I was like, oh, okay, so we are just going to kill the Guardians of the Globe a second time. How lovely. And then,
I guess that was a badass move, how she was trying to grow inside of that guy, and he swallowed her. Like, he forced her back in. I thought that was cool. But then again, like I said, she still didn't die.
Yeah, she still didn't die, luckily. Like, good job, I guess. But then Rex getting shot in the head and surviving. But, like, I was watching this live, so I watched the episode and then had to wait a week to find out that Rex didn't actually die.
Oh, and that's where the episode ended. Wow.
Yeah, and then he gets up and, like, fights and everything. Yeah, that was crazy. That's like the show having like crazy endings like that like resolve themselves in the first 5 minutes of the next episode is why I for seasons 1 and 2 did not look anything up about the show. And really the only thing I looked up about season like anything onward was about Amanda because I was curious about her curse. Monster Girl.
That's Monster Girl. Okay.
Like, I couldn't remember how she was, like, why she's a monster and, like, where that go. Like, I didn't know where that was going to go. Because I saw somebody say on Twitter that she becomes important.
Interesting. I'd say one thing I really liked, too, was, like I said, I really liked how much time they took with Amber and Mark's relationship. Even if, yeah, I would say they said, oh, we can't do this thing, and then they did it, and then they ended up not doing it. Like I said, I think it works because her life was threatened. I think that's the one thing that pushes them over the edge.
It just should have really happened a little sooner.
Yeah, I admit. And maybe a little bit more time between Adam, Eve, and Mark.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a cheap how her future Adam, Eve told him straight up, like, yo, I got feelings for you. I'm like, okay.
Yes, sure. And no, because I don't think that Mark ever would have done anything, and like clearly he had feelings for her from season like from first meeting her, and like they went to the same high school even before he knew he was a hero or like knew he had powers, so like he clearly liked her for forever. Like they're destined to be together. But like, yeah,
2 seasons though, that's pretty impressive that they waited 2 seasons. We'll see if they get together in season 3, who knows.
I'm assuming they will be. Like, I just don't see how else. Like, what is Mark going to do?
I don't know. But I liked how much time they took with Debbie. How she went to the, like, AA meeting for different heroes.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that.
I loved every plot line with Debbie. I also just really love Sandra Oh.
Yeah, it's cool. Sandra Oh's in this. She is a big favorite of mine. Me and Leah. Leah's favorite movie is Princess Diaries, and she plays the principal in Princess Diaries.
Gupta.
Yeah. But I thought, oh, man, it was such a chilling scene where you thought that the guy was going to be nice to her because she admitted what her husband did to his wife.
Yeah.
At the bar, and then he just goes, no, I
don't you should leave. You should never come back. As if it's her fault. I felt so bad for her.
That's good, though. That's good writing.
That is, no, like, this show is so well written, and, like, honestly, as hyped as the show is, I still think it's underrated.
I would agree.
I don't think enough people watch the show. Like, it should have a way bigger fan base. Like, more people should be invested in this. It's just so well written. Because from, like, episode one are still paying off.
It's crazy how they, yeah, it's crazy how they put those little details. I was kind of scared about that, but they used to, like, the whole thing with Mars and the whole thing with the guy who dropped down Mount Rushmore and created lava monsters. They have all these, like, little tiny plot points that they put in season one that kind of get carried on a little bit more in season two.
Yeah.
So I was worried about that going into season two because they teased all that stuff. And I was like, I thought everyone was dead. I thought everyone was done, starting fresh. But then they worked those... Even the whole thing with the guy who was part of the, what do they call it? Not the Justice League. What's their thing called?
Guardians of the Globe.
Sure. Guardians of the Globe. The guy who's the fish, and he died, and then Mark had to go down there and face Mary, his wife or whatever. I thought that was really interesting, too, that I wasn't expecting. But they did really well with all those, the hive mind alien things coming from Mars was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought they did a really well job carrying on all those small plot points from season one into season two.
Yeah, there's just so much. And I'm, like, very interested to see what storylines are going to continue to play out that were set up in season one.
You know what's, like, an interesting character who is in the show? All of it. And a lot in the show. But unlike everyone who has their own little storyline, he doesn't necessarily get one. And that is Cecil. He's kind of just been there. He hasn't really changed, I would say, as a character. He seems like a good guy who's just more realistic about everything.
Yeah, I feel like we're not going to get, like, any backstory on Cecil. And, like, I'm very curious, like, what's up with his mouth. Also, does he have powers? Or is this technology that he uses to teleport places? And why can't he use this? Like, if it is technology, why can't he use it to like, when... Mark was fighting.
It's technology.
Well, that okay. So that's what I thought. I was like, oh, he has technology this whole time. But then when Mark is fighting Anissa, and he's like, we're never gonna be able to get heroes to that battle quick enough to save these people. Like, why couldn't he have used the technology if it was technology?
I can't remember. It was difficult because that became a huge plot point at the end of season one when Omni-Man and Mark were fighting, and he was trying to, like, teleport in to try to talk to Omni-Man to stall him, stuff like that. They kind of dealt with how it's a little bit difficult to teleport different people, and they don't have a lot of that technology. It's mostly just for him, kind of thing.
Oh, okay. I guess. I just didn't remember any of that.
Yeah, that just reminds me of the Titan monster thing that they fought at the end of season one, which was super cool. So what, we ended with Immortal and Duplicate. I'm just looking through all the characters right now. Immortal and Duplicate are kind of out of the Guardians of the Globe now.
Yeah, they're retiring.
Because they think Duplicate's dead.
Yeah.
And then Immortal's just like, I'm done with this kind of thing.
Oh, one thing, I think that they mentioned this in the show at some point, but she has a twin brother named Multi. Duplicate? Yeah, named Multipaul.
Dude, I don't like that. That doesn't work as well. Oh, wait. Does it?
Multiple.
Multipole. Okay. That does work. Never mind.
Multipole. Yeah, it's Paul and Kate. I didn't know that. And he's evil.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's a villain. I think we've seen him, actually, like, very briefly in a jail cell. Probably at, like, the Pentagon or whatever.
I can see them maybe bringing him up, and then that's how they show the crew that Duplicate is still alive, maybe.
Yeah.
Another person that we haven't talked about, whose storyline's really interesting and more realistic for if any of this was real is Adam Eve with her whole trying to help everybody. And there's a reason you might not be able to help everybody. Like the whole thing with she tries to make that playground in the city. Mm-hmm.
And then it like a sinkhole and nothing was up to code and people got hurt and she beat herself up over it.
The interesting predicament of like she can create anything for her parents, but her parents still want to work for themselves kind of thing. Yeah. I think that's probably very relatable in current, you know, a current times or a real world because there's probably so many people who have family members who are wealthy who are like, I can just give you money. But they're like, no, I want to do it myself kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was a very interesting, they didn't do too much with it, but they did just enough with it, I think.
Yeah. Did you watch the Adam Eve special episode?
No. How is that? Have you watched it?
I have. It's actually really cool. And I hope they do more backstory of like other characters because like there's so many characters that you don't know like the backstory of unless they explain it in the show like very briefly and you remember it, or they like don't do it at all. Like with Monster Girl and Duplicate, I didn't know how either of them got their powers, but both of them are cursed. That's how they have their powers.
Interesting.
And then Rex has his powers because he's like a genetic experiment, like yeah. I don't want to tell.
Rex didn't have any powers, but now he just had like he was like good at acrobats and throwing explosions. No. But now that he got
Rex had no powers. He was just like a naturally gifted kid at like just sports and stuff, and like he had a special like he basically had like an X gene, but like it was like untapped. It wasn't activated. And so like Cecil saw potential in him and bought him from his parents to then turn him into an acrobat kid with powers. And so they did like genetic experiments on him when he was a kid, trained him to be a superhero. And so his powers are literally to just like grab any item and turn it into an explosive.
Interesting. Yeah. So he doesn't produce the, I was going to say, does he just like pop the explosive?
That's
the
hell. That's why I like
now
I had
he
to
does. Now he does
yeah he has arm now he does because he has his arm, but yeah, like yeah. I had to like go and do a deep dive on everybody's powers because I just like was not understanding anyone's powers after the Adam Eve special, because they explain how she gets her powers and how she exists.
Okay, so that's only how does she get her powers? You can teach me.
She,
I guess I could watch it.
You could watch, but she also was like a genetic experiment, but at birth, like while she was in the womb, like her parents aren't her birth parents, but they don't know that. I think. Well, they didn't know that until the Adam Eve special, which is takes place when she's like 13. But yeah,
but the whole special itself isn't when she's at 18 or 13, right?
The whole special is a prequel to Invincible.
Interesting. So when did they come out with it? Did they come out with it between season one
and season two? Yeah, between season one and two. It came out maybe like a few months before season two.
Okay. That's smart by them. They might do that. That'd be a fun thing for them to do is like do one episode in between each season just to hold over the fans just a little bit kind of thing.
Yeah, it felt so random to have done it, but it really adds to the story and it makes it feel okay that Adam Eve isn't as big of a character in season two as like you would have thought she would have been, because you get a whole hour episode dedicated to her and her backstory.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should watch it. It was really cool.
I say it's about the same length as a regular episode.
Yeah. It's like a normal episode.
I keep on forgetting. They also have this one guy who's randomly part of their crew now, Black Samson. He's been there since the beginning. He doesn't really do much.
No. I don't even know what his powers are, really.
His suit gives him powers.
Of course.
And then they have the other new guy that they added with Immortal.
The guy that looks like he should run fast, but because he has goggles, but
yeah,
I think that's his power.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they've added people, but they did, like I said, I really like that they added Immortal. more characterization to him, and with him and Duplicate. But yeah, Black Samson, and I'm trying to figure out what this other guy's name is, but they haven't done anything.
I don't remember his name at all.
Well, there's a reason why. It's not our fault. Even though we're doing a podcast and it's on the show, it's not our fault. We remember everybody else's name.
Yeah, I mean, the other guy. Yeah, I don't know. I can literally name some of the other, like, the original Guardians of the Globe, but I could not tell you that guy's name.
Yeah, but it was funny. They have the side plot of that alien who came from Mars.
Yeah, that was a fun. Everything. That was fun. And a nice, like, payoff from season one.
But yeah, I think season two was really good. I thought everybody who they tried to focus on with their characterization, I thought they did a very good job. I didn't expect them to have tons of focus on Debbie. I didn't expect them to have as much focus on Mark and Amber's relationship, even though that should kind of be a given. I thought it was going to end a lot sooner, like you said.
Me too. I thought it was going to end in the first half of the season.
Like I said, it took Amber actually getting threatened for her to come to her senses.
But, like, honestly, though, good for her. Like, she really, truly loved Mark, and she was going to stick it out until her life was threatened.
Look at this turnaround. Look what you thought now. Your mind has changed.
I mean, no, like, I wish that she would have been able to come to that conclusion sooner still. I wish that it wasn't, like, a drawn-out-for-seven-episodes thing, but... Good for her, though, for sticking it out for as long as she did, because she could have cut and run the minute she found out Mark was invincible.
I have one question to ask you. What did you think about the cameos in the last episode?
The cameos?
As in the old Spider-Man and the old Batman.
Oh. I was reading about those. And I thought they were kind of funny because, like, I'm pretty sure they're actually in the comic. Like, Spider-Man and Batman, they have crossovers with them.
Interesting.
So, like...
I'm assuming they can't... Amazon does not own the rights to them, so they can't, even though it's in the comics.
Yeah, even though it's in the comics. But, yeah.
I have an issue. I might speak on this, elaborate it further. I don't know. Do some research on it. But I don't like cameos, per se, because I saw someone who's really into Invincible. And talked about every episode when they got released, and they said, okay, episode 8, let's get into it. First off, Spider-Man, Batman, and I'm like, when you put cameos in it, you automatically diminish anything, I think, with a show. That's what people are going to be talking about.
It takes away from the story. It takes away from the, like, main focus.
Yeah, like, nobody remembers. It depends on the story. If your story is really good, but then... It also depends on the cameo. Like, I'm thinking of the Marvels, where nobody really talked about the Marvels, but they talked about Beast at the end. I like seeing Beast at the end, and the X-Men that are at the end of that movie, at the post-credit scene. The only thing I could compare it to is something we talked about. It's very different material, film and TV-wise, but is Anya Taylor-Joy in Dune Part 2. I would say that she's kind of a cameo.
Yeah.
People did talk about her, but when they addressed that film, that's not the first thing they talked about.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, it's similar, but it's still mostly different because, like, she's...
It's a gripe I have.
Yeah. I think the Batman one was better than the Spider-Man one because you don't see Batman. You just see him making fun of Batman, and I'm more okay with cameos like that. Or I'd rather just have, like, a whole episode that is the two of them working together type of thing. Like, it needs to be one or the other. Like, either it's just implied that this is who the cameo is, or it's full-on episode focused on that character and how they're working with the main plot. The Spider-Man one, I feel like they just shouldn't have done it because they couldn't get the rights to actual Spider-Man. So, like, and then at one point, Mark is like, which one of you is the good guy? Which one of you is the bad guy? And, like, I couldn't tell either. Because this is kind of into the topic of Young Justice. God damn it, I forgot where I was going with that for a second.
You talk about Spider-Man.
In Young Justice, there's a character that's called Black Spider, I think, is his name. And I don't know if he shows up in season one or two, but he's a Spider-Man parody. And I think he was technically actually before Spider-Man. I might be wrong, but he is a comic character from DC and he is a villain. But he has all the same powers as Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think I'm very alone in thinking about cameos ruining this stuff, because I feel like the people who make this show know who their demographic is.
Yeah.
And it's people who watch comic book movies, either Marvel or DC. So when they watch it, they get a little bit giddy, but that is the first thing they're going to be talking about. But it just so happens that these cameos are, in fact, also in a very good show. So that pays off.
Yeah.
But I just think that's the first thing. There's so much that happens in this last season, or the season two. So I was like, don't talk about that first. There's a lot more that you should be talking about.
There's so much more that's so much more important. I at least they waited until the last episode to do any cameos.
Yeah.
Because then everybody had seven episodes to talk about before they saw Batman and Spider-Man.
True. But that also made me think, is this because Engstrom Levy died, or I thought he was dead for good? That made me think, is this the only reason why Engstrom Levy is in this movie, is to be a multiverse person and to bring in characters and stuff like that? So that's where my mind automatically goes, because I'm such a narcissist. So I always look at the bad side of things rather than
pessimist.
Ooh, fun, Spider-Man. Yeah.
Not a narcissist, a pessimist.
Speaking of, what do you say, Black Spider? Is that who's in
Young Justice? I think that's his name. Let me look. Black Spider, Young Justice.
Today, for our forgotten segment of the episode, we are speaking on another superhero show that is an absolute favorite of Zach's.
It is literally my favorite show of all time. I've literally watched it since 2010 when it premiered. It's Young Justice, and if you haven't heard of Young Justice, it follows the story of the teen sidekicks of the Justice League as a covert ops branch of the Justice League, taking on villains and everything from the shadows from behind, just like going in on these missions, and also all the like drama that goes on with teenagers mixed in with that. It's like Teen Titans, but darker.
It's very good. I got through the first season, and there's lots of twists and turns. You're not going to really be able to predict what's going to happen in the show. It keeps you on your toes kind of thing. I thought the animation was really good too, for at least, I think it came out 2010. It looks pretty good for coming out 2010. I really don't, because it's 2D animation, so it's hard to, I don't necessarily know how much 2D animation can be improved on, but comparing it to Invincible, it wasn't that big of a difference, I would say.
No, it's the animation. This was like the animation for Young Justice is very like reminiscent of the 2010s, because it like everything in that time period was this like almost more realistic, like trying to be like hyper realistic animated still. It looks like Voltron and Legend of Korra style line art. Then like all of the DC animated universe movies are animated in the same style as Young Justice.
Yeah. Did you know that Jesse McCartney played
Dick Grayson? I literally, yes. I did.
I was just looking at it right now. I was like, what
the world? It actually has like, there's actually like quite a few people that like randomly voice, like in The Walking Dead. I don't know if you've watched The Walking Dead. But the guy who voices
McCartney's in The Walking Dead.
No. There's King Ezekiel voices Aqualad in Young Justice.
I got you.
Yeah. But this.
Jesse McCartney is in the Fear the Walking Dead show.
Oh, I.
He's been a lot of stuff.
Who is Jesse McCartney in Fear the Walking Dead?
I don't know. He is looks like 2016. He plays a character called Reed. I don't know, but that's pretty fascinating.
That's
He's been
funny.
Actually in a lot of stuff.
I had no idea. That's crazy.
But yeah, there's four seasons, right?
There's Young four Justice. Seasons, and
we're recommending this show to you all. If you like Invincible, you'll like Young Justice.
Yes, especially the last. I think if you like the style of writing and the style of like adult animation with Invincible, you'll like the last two seasons of Young Justice, because they're way more adult, because they're on a streaming service now, because in 2013 the show was canceled, unfortunately, by Cartoon Network.
Okay, so it was Cartoon Network, two seasons, and then it got picked up by like HBO Max.
Yeah, so I made a video about this forever ago, but the history of Young Justice is a lot of kids' cartoons, especially like way back when, were funded through toy sales. So if your show wasn't selling toys, you weren't going to have a production budget and you were essentially going to get canceled. It had literally nothing to do with viewership. It like strictly was based on toy sales, and Young Justice like just wasn't selling toys. So then it got canceled after two seasons, and then fans of the show like myself and everybody else that was my age, and all the other adults that liked the show when it got canceled, rioted for 6 years. And then the show got put on Netflix in like 2017 or something, and we binged it for 2 years. And in 2019, the show was finally announced to be coming back for a third season at San Diego Comic-Con. And then the third season premiered a year later or something like that. So that I cover canceled TV shows on my TikTok page, and this is a success story for a canceled show. So if you have a canceled show, don't ever think that you can't bring it back, because you can if you rally enough troops.
How was the... because that's a lot of years. So what, it got canceled in 2013, and then when was the third season released?
The third season, I think, was either 2019 or 2020. Like, it was a 6 or 7 year wait.
Can you tell that it's different? Does it look different?
The animation style is ever so slightly different.
Better?
It's better. Like, it's more polished because it's 6 to 7 years later. All the voice actors came back, though. Every single cast member from seasons 1 and 2 wow. returns for seasons 3 and 4, which is really cool. And I'm trying to think of like what else. The writers and creators came back.
That's insane that happened, to be honest. That's kind of a cool story.
It is. Like, it was such a deserved renewal and like reboot or continuation. It needed to happen.
That's cool though. I can't even think of a show off the top of my head. I mean, you just talked about Mindhunter, but I think people petitioned for it to happen, but it doesn't happen that often.
No, like the only other times that I can think of it are like Veronica Mars. It came back for a fourth season, I think, because Hulu brought it back. So, and it wasn't like a reboot with new cast. It was Kristen Bell. I almost said Stewart. It was Kristen Bell reprising her role as Veronica Mars. I'm trying to think of another time that happened. 90210 came back for 90210 BH or something in like 2019.
What was that show on NBC about the plane that Netflix picked up and they did more seasons for?
Manifest.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, but that was a show being saved from cancellation. Like,
okay.
Revivals are so much more difficult because, like basically when a show is canceled, you have, like, a designated amount of time to be picked up by another network before all the contracts are released, and your show's contract basically gets put into a vault, and then you have to go through a bunch more legal hoops in order to get your show out of said vault from whatever network.
So Netflix saved Manifest before it got to the vault.
Yeah,
situation.
Essentially. But like, it's Young Justice is honestly even crazier because it wasn't like another network picked it up. It was Warner Bros. Warner Bros. Owns Cartoon Network. They canceled it. Warner Bros. owned the DC Universe app, and they own HBO Max/Max, and brought the show back. They were like, oh yeah, there's enough people that want this. We're gonna bring it back.
Well, man, I'm happy that that happened because, like we said, it does not happen.
It doesn't. But I want to know about what you like. What where are you with the plot? Who's your favorite character? What's your favorite thing so far?
Well, I think I talked about it. Everything with Dr. Fate is super cool. We spoke on it. So Dr. Fate, what's episode does he pop up in?
I think like episode 11 or something when Zatanna joins the team.
And there's like, I can't remember his name, but basically Dr. Fate is his own being type of thing who takes control of the suit. And I can't remember who, somebody got out of the suit.
Cat Nelson.
It wasn't possessed by him, but now someone else is possessed by him. There's so many people in the Young Justice.
Yeah. So Kent Nelson is the original Dr. Fate, if you will.
How many times have you watched Young Justice? Do you like rewatch it?
All the time.
Gosh, I'm terrible with names, though. I'm trying to look up everyone right now. How many times do you think you've gone through Young Justice?
Seasons 1 and 2, probably like 10-ish times. Seasons 3 and 4, way less, just because they're so much newer.
10 times? That's not easy task.
Okay, well, I don't want to, like, give you a spoiler, but, like, my favorite character is Wally West.
Okay.
And he's super relevant in Seasons 1, partly 2. So, like, I rewatch it for him.
Okay, that makes sense. Who do I like? I like the whole plotline of Superboy.
Yes, like, I also really like... So, like, the team in Seasons 2, 3, and 4 grows a lot. Like, it is no longer just, like, the core six of them. Like, it's not just Superboy, Artemis.
I can kind of see that happening.
Yeah, like, they... More sidekicks come in, more teenage heroes come in. They start having branch teams of the team. So, like, it gets jumbled a lot. So I really like being able to just go back to Season 1 and watch the core six and, like, see them go on their missions. And one of my favorite... Do you finish Season 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite episode in Season 1 is the one where McGann has to put them under or like into the, like, the dream sequence essentially, and they have to go on that mission because the Justice League was eliminated. That's my favorite episode. Like, I just think that's such a well done episode, and like the stuff from
you probably know which episode was that.
It's like 19 or 20.
Okay, I'm trying to look at it right here.
It's like really late. But, like, the stuff from that is still playing out into seasons, like, 2 and 3.
Really?
Like, their feelings about it.
That's really... Especially if it's season 3 because of the whole cancellation and everything.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't miss a beat kind of thing.
They don't. And there's a 5-year time skip going into season 2.
Oh, I remember you telling me that. Okay. So going into season 2, there's a 5-year time skip from season 1?
Yeah. And then
There's more time skips, right?
Yeah. So... I think from seasons 1 to 4, it's like a total of 10 years. Like time skip wise, because I think the time skip.
Do they tell you that, or do you just like? Okay.
They tell you, like, you see the like the time codes and everything and the dates, and also like season 1 to 2 time skip is very obvious because Robin is 13, and then all of a sudden he's big and buff. An adult. Oh,
yes. The animation really helps you understand at the time.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but it is, I mean, I'm trying to think how long. So 25 minutes per episode, and there are 26 episodes. So that's about 7 hours?
Yeah.
Content, so... It's about the same as Invincible. I mean, if you really think about it, a little bit less. I mean, you got 8 episodes of Invincible. I mean, that's for every. It's basically the culmination of every not network, but streaming show right now. Just like 8 episodes an hour each, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So just differently formatted. Is there as many episodes in season 3 and 4?
Season 3 and 4 are 26 episodes apiece.
Wow, they really just didn't miss.
They don't miss the
exact,
like,
same show kind
of. Yeah, like they came back and they were like, we're gonna do this.
I don't think we talked about this. There's not a season 5 guaranteed. It's kind of just like up in the air.
Yeah, so this is exactly like what happened with season 2. or like after season two, for like a year, it was like in a limbo phase. We've been in a limbo phase of season post season four for like 2 years now. But like, there's been no news of it being canceled. There's been no news of it being renewed, but I follow the creator of the show on Twitter, and he's like regularly providing updates. People always are like, do we have a cancellation? Do we have a renewal? And he's like, I haven't heard anything. So your guess is as good as mine. We're not canceled and we're not renewed. If you want us to be renewed, just keep streaming the show.
Why is it still toys or no?
No, it's not based on toys. It is based on viewership. But like, it's consistently one of HBO Max or one of Max's like top 10 shows.
Really? How'd you find that out?
Twitter, right? The Young Justice fandom on Twitter is like very passionate.
Oh, they find out stuff.
Yeah, like it.
If anybody gets into the show, you can follow the Young Justice.
Yeah, if it falls out of the top 10, like the fandom comes back and it's like, oh, time to start streaming again.
So there's like a huge fandom for this
show. Yeah, it's like, it's crazy that it's not renewed. Like, it's a big enough fandom that James Gunn has literally said that he looks to Young Justice as an example of how to write the DC universe of movies.
Man, I thought that show was good, but I really underestimated it from talking to you about it. See, this is exactly why I was like, you could take the floor when it comes to Young Justice.
Yeah. See,
you know the ins and outs of it.
It's literally my favorite show of all time. It's just so well written. And it's funny because the only reason I watched the show was because I saw some promo for it after like an episode of Ben 10. And then I saw another promo for it after an episode of Spectacular Spider-Man. I don't know if you remember that show at all. It was...
I remember it. I didn't watch it.
Okay, yeah. It was another... It was like on Kids WB or whatever. But the creator of Spectacular Spider-Man is the creator of Young Justice.
Oh.
And he's also the creator of Gargoyles.
Jeez. So yeah. This is the same guy you follow on Twitter?
Yeah.
So is he making any new shows now?
I don't know. What is...
I mean, having that resume, I feel like he would be desirable in the studio space kind of thing.
You would think, but being an animation writer and being a writer for like live action TV is very different. It's not the same amount of respect.
I'm surprised that he's not like, at least, no, I guess Invincible. We're talking about Invincible, but Invincible's Amazon, so there's no crossover there.
Yeah. Right?
But I'm looking at, right now I'm looking at Max's top 10 series, and Young Justice isn't on there, so.
Well, the fandom's going to come back and put it up there.
You got to get on your fandom. You got to get on your fandom, you got to let them know.
Yep, got to let them know that Young Justice fell out the top 10.
So it's called, so is this season called The Phantoms?
Yeah, so that's the other thing about each season is there's a, like, essentially a theme, a tagline to it, except season one, of course, because it's just Young Justice. There's also tie-in comics and a tie-in video game that explain some of the stuff that happens between seasons, like during the time skips, which is cool.
Oh, that's very interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
And you read all that?
I have never played the game, but I read the plot of the game. And I've...
Chopper.
Well, the game was like really hard to get access to. Like, it wasn't an easy thing. But the comics I've read, they're actually like really interesting, because I think that there's only comics between season 2 and 3 and 3 and 4. I don't. The game takes place between 1 and 2.
Oh, so they basically cover all.
Yeah, they basically cover everything. There's comics post season 4 also.
So if anybody gets into this, you will be taken care of, because it seems like there isn't a new season, unfortunately, in the works at least, but. They cover their bases really well, and everyone's really passionate about the show.
Very passionate. I think you'll exactly become... I think you'll... When you finish season two, you'll realize, like, why.
Yeah, you're going to be on me about that.
you have to let me know when you finish season two, though. Okay. Because season two... Just imagine the pain when you finish it of having to wait 7 years to see what happens next, because it ends on a major cliffhanger.
Star-crossed part 3. We got 3 episodes. Oh, geez. I'm not going to read anything. That would be a you thing to do, is to read the whole plot, but I'm not going to do that.
No. You can. So, yeah.
No. Yeah, guys, check out Young Justice. Zach's favorite show of all time.
All time favorite show. I love animation.
Do you think that Invincible can ever get on that level for you, or is it always just going to be Young Justice? What does Invincible have to do to get to the level of Young Justice for you?
I don't know. I don't really have I can't tell you why Young Justice is my favorite show without spoiling.
Oh, okay.
What happens in season 2 and 3?
Okay.
If Young Justice does something similar, I just don't have, like, there's just not a thing that they have that they could do that with.
They might surprise you.
It could absolutely surprise me. Like, I think right now Invincible probably is like my favorite animated show that's like currently on.
Yeah, mine too, definitely. I'm gonna say little segue here, but we talked about Cecil for a little bit, and Cecil is voiced by Walton Goggins, which Walton Goggins is going to pop up on our next episode as well, because we're going to be talking about Fallout, which you haven't started yet.
No, I have not started, but I will.
I've got to tell you, I'll just say the first 30 minutes. So every episode's pretty long, just to forewarn you. First 30 minutes are masterful. Very good. Very, very good. I was hooked kind of right away. I don't know if you know this. You might know this, but it follows three different plot points.
Interesting. They're all post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it's all basically people in the Fallout world, just in different settings in the Fallout world.
Okay.
Like, Walton Goggins is one of them. There's a woman and then, like, a soldier type guy. Mm-hmm. So it follows three different storylines. But, yeah, he was in American Ultra, which we've talked about. He was in Invincible, and now he's in Fallout. So we cannot get away from Walton Goggins, which I'm happy about, because I feel like he's a very underrated actor who always adds to anything he's in. He's never bad, ever, in a performance, but...
Yeah, I mean, I really liked him in American Ultra. He was funny.
Yeah, we needed more time with him. But yeah, so that's what we're talking about next week, so stay tuned for that. Go ahead and watch Young Justice, campaign for it.
Campaign for it to be renewed for season 5, please.
Get it back into the top 10.
Like, actually, though.
Go to Twitter. Invincible. We don't have to wait maybe that long for Invincible Season 3. Supposedly it's already done somewhere.
Yeah, it was. I'm assuming that we're actually going to get a renewal for Seasons 4 and 5 relatively soon.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, like,
relatively. Yeah.
I imagine it'll run for 6 seasons.
All right.
Because there's, right. I think that they cover like 10 issues of comic in each season, and there's only 60-ish issues.
Interesting.
Or volumes.
You don't know the entire Invincible storyline, do you?
No, I literally only know like the start and the end. But like it's very clear where it's going. Like, we know that they're going to war with Viltrumites at some point.
You can stop.
No, like, that's it. That's all I'm telling you. Like, you know, okay, like, okay. That's where, that was the start and that's the end. Like, I don't know all the in-between stuff. I just know how people get their powers.
Alright, I believe you. But yeah, go ahead and watch Invincible if you guys haven't watched it yet. Very good season. Young Justice, very good 4 seasons.
Amazing 4 seasons.
I only got the one. But
I hope
favorite season next. Favorite season out of the 4 seasons is season 2, probably.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's the shortest one. And like the cliffhanger. The cliffhanger.
All right, I'll try to get on it as soon as I can. 7 hours. I gotta watch Fallout.
Well, for our next season 2 is only 20 episodes.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Interesting. I didn't see that. Okay, that's not bad. But yeah. I'll have to watch that after Fallout.
Yeah, after Fallout. Well, now you can just watch Young Justice at your leisure.
Yeah, very true. Which I'm excited to do, kind of just put it on the background kind of thing.
You could do a whole, I just started watching My Hero Academia, so a new like thing that my boyfriend told me I should do for TikTok is make videos talking about my experience watching the show for the first time, because people love content like that, apparently. So you could do that with Young Justice.
I'll try.
There's a content idea for you. Just like a video a week talking about how many episodes you watched and what you watched and what you liked.
Tap into the Young Justice fan base.
My Young Justice video only made it to like 2,000 views or something. And then a month later, it was at almost 100. 100,000. So
that's because the fandom was trying to get
it. Fandom found it. They will find any piece of Young Justice content that you put out.
It wasn't in the top 10 anymore, so they were trying to bump up whatever content they could.
No, like, actually, that's probably what happened.
But with Fallout next week, just to put this in here as well, is we decided we're going to talk about Memento, which is a Christopher Nolan-directed movie. And the reason why we're doing that is because Christopher Nolan's brother, Jonathan Nolan, wrote Memento, and he's directing the first three episodes of Fallout as well. So that's our little segue into talking about The Fresh and Forgotten next week. But yeah, stay tuned for that. Pretty good episode here.
Yeah.
Really made me excited to watch more of Young Justice, to be honest.
I'm glad that I could convince you with my enthusiasm for the show.
But yeah, stay tuned next week, guys, for Fallout and Memento. Thanks for tuning in to the Expired Popcorn Podcast. Again, I am Stone.
And I'm Zach.
And we'll see you guys next week.